welcome to St. James Westminster this morning. Congratulations on making it in. Please have a seat. I've fielded a few phone calls and questions, so as much as I would like to tell you that getting here this morning is going to get you something, a couple of extra heaven points, I have already assured folks who could not make it in that Jesus does still love them. So congratulations, but no, there's no time off for good behavior or anything. There are a couple of announcements this morning. Festry is next week, everybody's favorite Sunday. Please plan to attend. I'm sure it will be a well-run meeting with lots of helpful information, so please make sure it's on your calendar. Tomorrow, if the snow has let up and we're able to get out of our homes, some of us are gathering to go skating at Storybook Gardens at 3:15. I'm going to have to buy the tickets tomorrow, so if you've not RSVP'd and suddenly think, gee, I should go skating, come find me after the service. Kids Camino will gather on Tuesday, but we're going to gather a little bit earlier. We're going to get together at 6 p.m. and have supper together before we play and learn. So if you're planning to come, please RSVP to me, find me, so that we know to order enough pizza. Also, someone mentioned to me before the service today that it is Elizabeth King's birthday. Happy birthday, Elizabeth. Good job getting out of the house to be here. It's good to be together. Finally, some sad news if you have not already heard. Joan Barnum has passed away, and her funeral is going to be on Wednesday at 2 p.m. here. Please do remember Joan in your prayers and her family, and plan to come to the funeral if you are free. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
you do all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Almighty and ever-living God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, healed the sick and restored them to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the anguish of the world, and by your power make whole all peoples and nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If it is true that the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. who does not take bad advice for a guide, nor walks the path on which sinners have trod, nor sits where the cynics mock. Who takes delight in the law of the Lord and meditates on it both day and night and prospers in every way. Such a is like a tree by the nourishing streams, which yields its fruit when the season is right, and bears leaves that never fade.
Be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. Do you know those decorative signs you can buy for your house? The ones made of distressed wood with helpful sayings painted on them? You can find ones that read, "Love is patient, love is kind." You can find them with the Beatitudes. But you know what you never seem to find written on those signs? The woes. As far as I can tell, nobody is going into their kitchen at the end of a long day and sighing happily as they read, "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." When we think about the Beatitudes, Matthew's version is the one that comes to mind first. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And Matthew's version does not have the woes. It's blessing upon blessing, a promise of rest and relief. And so I began to wonder this week, what's in the woes that we need to hear? What truth is there that can only be conveyed that way? At first, they sound a bit like a threat, perhaps a promise of punishment if we end up in the wrong group. Are they meant maybe as another level of consolation for those named in the Beatitudes? I confess that if I spent much of my time hungry, a promise that those who go to bed with full stomachs every night, a promise that they would taste the hunger that I felt, that might be satisfying. So is it that? Is it about vengeance? Is that what we are to take away? You can probably tell that neither one of those answers sits comfortably with me, so I kept wondering. Because the rest of this passage this morning is really, really practical. As I said, Jesus is not speaking about spiritual poverty here, or about a theoretical group who might hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus is speaking to the people who have gathered around him that day, to the crowd and to his disciples. And Jesus is speaking about the real, incarnate, day-to-day issues they face. There are many in the crowd that day who are poor. There are many that go hungry. Jesus is consoling those who are filled with grief and tears because their lives are hard. And he is speaking to those who are there that day who are and who will be hated and mocked, those who will suffer because they choose to follow Jesus. And Jesus is giving them a reason to hope. God has made promises, and the people have been faithful. They've been holding on to those promises for centuries. And Jesus, standing right in front of them, is the fulfillment of those promises. So Jesus has not come with just words, just teaching. Before Jesus began to speak, he healed the sick. He cast out evil spirits. The crowd experienced what it is to be in the kingdom of God before Jesus had said a word. He showed them that the kingdom of God is not just something we long for and hope for in a distant future. The kingdom of God has come near. It is standing right in front of them in the person of Jesus. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we heard the story of Jesus preaching in the temple? He was handed the scroll and he read a passage from Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is what Jesus' ministry is all about. Fulfilling the promises that God has made, launching the kingdom of God, showing us how to live right here and right now so that we, small as we are, imperfect as we are, might join in that work. And so today's gospel reminds us that the work of the kingdom of God is not just spiritual. Thoughts and prayers are not enough. Jesus invites us to live in the kingdom, to live as though the kingdom were here in fullness already. The thing is, it's a lot harder to join Jesus in this work if we are happy with the status quo. We aren't going to be able to speak out against inequality and injustice if we can't see that there is inequality and injustice. So I think that is why we have the woes this morning. Because it is harder to see that poverty is a solvable problem when we are rich. It is easier to blame those who are hungry when we have enough to eat. It is difficult to empathize with the pain others feel when we've never felt the same way. It's not impossible, but it is harder. It's harder to see that the world needs to change, that the kingdom of God is the answer when this world works for us the way it is. And so Jesus warns us that those of us who are rich, who are full, who are happy in a world where there is poverty and hunger and pain may not be able to see the change that is so desperately needed. I have spoken to a number of people this week who are worried. The news is not really getting any better. The future seems uncertain. And people, myself included, are wondering what we can do. And I wonder if this morning's readings give us helpful guidance as we figure this out. Because we can trust Jesus. We can trust that in Jesus the work of the kingdom has begun and nothing can stop that now. We can accept that we may have blinders. We may not always be able to see the ways in which this world needs to change. So we may be challenged by what God's love looks like sometimes. And we can pray. We can pray for guidance and for wisdom and for an open heart to see where God is leading us. And then we can follow Jesus' example. We can feed the hungry and share what we have with those who have less. We can listen to those who have been cast out, to those who mourn, and always renew our efforts to live in the kingdom of God now. Amen. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Please adopt a position of prayer.
The response today is, great is your glory. When we call upon you, you answer, great is your glory. Blessed Lord, Your kingdom reverses the fortunes of all who are weighed down. Make your church to be a place where good news is announced. Shape us to be living witnesses of your resurrection life. When we call, you answer.
Great is your glory.
Blessed Lord, your kingdom challenges the complacency of all whose comfort makes them indifferent. Give to all who lead the nations compassion for the poor and needy. Give us the will to strive for justice. When we call, you answer.
Great is your glory.
Blessed Lord, your kingdom extends beyond the narrow confines of our vision. Extend our borders to embrace the rich diversity of humanity. Give us grace to display the hospitality of your generous love. When we call, you answer.
Great is your glory.
Blessed Lord, your kingdom brings healing in its wings. Set free all bound by addictions and torments of the mind. Look with mercy on all who call upon your name. We think today especially of Sylvia, Robert, Gavin, Catherine, Sherry, Brian, Trevor, Eleanor, Yvonne, Liam and Paul, Dawn and Nancy, Rupali and Archie. When we call, you answer.
Great.
Blessed Lord, your kingdom is our hope and our salvation. Restore to life all who have died in Christ. We will rejoice in your eternity. We pray today for Joan Barnum. When we call, you answer.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, we have fought the murder against you, by our own good have done, and by our own good have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Eternal God, you are the strength of the weak and the comfort of sufferers. Receive all we offer you this day. Turn our sickness into health and our sorrow into joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You are the source of light and life for all your creation. You made us in your own image and call us to new life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. God of tender care, in this Eucharist, we celebrate your love for us and for all people. May we show your love in our lives and know its fulfillment in your presence. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
His power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always. Amen. My friends, go in peace and in safety and with all due slowness in the snow to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.